broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use continues. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the broadcast for September 17th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is Hour 2 of 2. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Constitution Day. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We believe in the protection of life, liberty, and property. We always want to promote God, family, and country. And we believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders, absolutely inspired and brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face. We believe we can restore the republic in the traditions of our founders. We can make the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, relevant again. I know people will say it can't be done. It's a road to hoe. You'll never get it done. We got to keep trying, folks. I can't fix the world by 3 o'clock by myself, but we the people together can do a marvelous work. We've done it before, and we can do it again. Just ask George Washington. All right, Kirk Crosby, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. Just to recap last hour, Republican presidential debate last night, hosted by CNN. Would Reagan be happy with CNN hosting the debate at his presidential library, do you think, huh? Are the moderators turning the Republican debates into the Jerry Springer show? That's what it looked like to me. Who came out on top? The mainstream press says Carly Fiorina did. She came with a store of zingers, notably pointed at Trump. Glenn Beck declares Carly Fiorina as the biggest winner and Donald Trump as the biggest loser. Donald Trump loses big. I agree with that general statement. He didn't do near as well as I'm sure he had hoped. Bush and Walker were the biggest losers on the stage, at least according to the mainstream press. Trump said Rand Paul shouldn't even be on the stage. Trump says only the United States, stupid enough for birthright citizenship. I agree with that. Rand Paul says, why are we the world's patsies? I agree with that. Cruz says, are Planned Parenthood values your values? I agree with that. Carly Fiorina says it's about changing the system. Okay, whatever. Carly Fiorina delivers stellar performance. She's a gifted speaker. Ben Carson, to a great degree, according to the mainstream press, seemed to be in over his head. Ben relates his tax plan to tithing. Senator Marco Rubio delivered an eloquent performance but promotes Cuba. Governor Jeb Bush continues to fail instead of shine. Bush demands Trump apologize to his wife. Trump says not. Jeb Bush said, my brother kept us safe. My brother did. My daddy did. My daddy's bigger than your dad. Senator Rand Paul gets tied to marijuana. Attacks Trump about his careless language. Governor Chris Christie wanted to put Abigail Adams on the money. Governor John Kasich was in the news as well. But Chris Christie and Kasich, all they're doing is pointing to the fact that they've been in government forever. Senator Ted Cruz delivers solid performance, very polished. Governor Mike Huckabee was Mike Huckabee, I guess. Governor Scott Walker needed a strong performance and didn't get it, says the mainstream press. GOP candidates agree on vaccinations. They all love vaccines. Sadly, all candidates support childhood vaccines. Trump dominates the debate poll, they say. Fiorina jumps. Cruz and Rubio have polls, says Drudge.com or DrudgeReport.com. Highest rated event in CNN history. That's the summary. Now, that's the mainstream press's take, their view, and I believe they're focused on all the wrong things. They're focused on looks. They're focused on who's better at sparring, turning it into a boxing match. They're focused on who can best the other one. Very little policy was discussed, in my humble opinion. There were some details, but not really relating it to what matters, in my opinion. And I believe they promoted all the wrong issues and people and places for all the wrong reasons. It's all about making CNN get the best ratings, Fox get the best ratings for these people. And it's all about commentators turn moderators for an agenda, which is to make themselves out to be rock stars. Every question, in my opinion, was designed to make a candidate look bad or good, depending on their favoritism. That shined through last night big time. Overall, it was an absolute fiasco, waste of time. Now, I want to get into what I believe is important, but first, Pete wanted to chime in. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Sam.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Excellent.
How's it going, Kurt? I just wanted to say that didn't that debate, or whatever you want to call it, you can call it Jerry Springer, I would call it even worse than that. But didn't it seem to you that they treated Rand Paul the same way they treated Ron Paul?
Yes.
They never went to him.
They never went to him, and when they did, they asked questions that led to their agenda pushing. I'll give you an example. He got the most commentary or the most ability to speak when it came to marijuana. So that when you walk away, you go, yeah, Rand Paul's that pot candidate. Nah. Okay, that's what they tried to make happen, and they succeeded, unfortunately.
And then another theme that was brought forth by a lot of the candidates, which really turned my stomach, was especially that lady.
Carly Fiorina.
She goes, well, I just call up my friend Bibi Netanyahu. And you know, it figures you'd have to call a man to do something for it. I would never vote for that woman. And the fellow from Ohio that was standing next to her,
Kasich.
Get the hook. He, Rand Paul has got AIPAC and the World Jewish Congress and all of Israel against him because he's a constitutionalist. Mike Huckabee gave the best answer of the night when he actually educated the people on who the Supreme Court is.
And great
Donald
point.
Trump is paying his own money, and he's going to be a tough guy to beat. Because if you'll notice, Donald Trump and Rand Paul pretty much gave the same answer when he came to Iran. Let's talk to him. You know. Now, who's going to be tougher? Well, I think they could both be tough, but Rand Paul doesn't come off tough.
Yeah, because Rand Paul, I believe, to a great degree, his goal is to do a good, stellar job, and he's not into the theater that Donald Trump is. So Donald knows how to deliver, you know, how tough he'd be. He's got that, you know, Eastern accent kind of thing that puts it. And I'd take it to him. You know, look, I'd take it to him and then go eat pizza. Okay, it's like that kind of an idea, and Rand doesn't have that kind of delivery. You're right, and I think your analysis is spot on. So now I want to get to what I think should have been the focus and what points were made that I believe to be valid that were glossed over by the mainstream press. Do you have any of those before we let you go, Pete?
No, I'm just going to click off and enjoy
the show. Thanks so much for your help. He brought up some valid points there, no doubt about it. So, Kurt, I believe that all the focus is completely wrong and a waste of time. Because I believe they're focusing on all the wrong issues for, again, ratings, for an agenda. All the questions were designed to manipulate the stage and to promote certain people and give them a chance to shine and to down people and give them a chance to box themselves in. So Rand Paul primarily was the guy that had a little spat with Trump. And other than that, he was given the doctor's ability to talk about vaccines for a second, and he said he was all for vaccines. And then he was given a chance to talk about marijuana, and so when you leave, they want you to believe that Rand Paul's the marijuana guy. Okay, that's how the mainstream press does it. However, I want to jettison the marijuana discussion for a second, and I want to say that Rand Paul delivered a very important but overlooked statement about freedom. On the campaign stage last night, it was during the marijuana discussion, unfortunately, because that's the way the mainstream press wants to manipulate it. But he said, look, whether I'm for or against marijuana, the real issue is the federal government versus the states. The real issue is the 10th Amendment, and the states should be allowed the freedom to do what they do. Look, the Constitution says the federal government has specific enumerated powers, and other than that, the 10th Amendment says it's left to the states and to the people, and this needs to be left to the states because there's no federal mandate of any kind, constitutionally speaking, for this. And Rand, in my opinion, Kurt, hit a quadruple home run. I'm talking he hit it over the fence with that kind of delivery, but the problem is they're just going to couch that and always the pot candidate, and they're going to lose sight of it all. But that was the most critical statement the whole night, if you ask my opinion, Kurt. The separation of powers. Rand Paul absolutely nailed it, but I'm telling you, he won't get any credit for it. But it was absolutely stellar, sir. Do you want to comment on that, Kurt?
Yeah, I got to agree with you. That's, something that should be hit on very hard. And that's, you saw it with Ron Paul when he was in Congress. You know, if he came out along with, what was the guys from New York? He'd come out in defense of basically saying that the federal government shouldn't have anything to do with any of these laws that had anything to do with regulating marijuana. So then they would say, hey, yeah, he's just for everybody smoking pot. But that's just the way the media works it, Sam. You're right,
and that's why I want to call him on the carpet system. About it. That statement that Rand made about freedom was very solid. It isn't about marijuana, Kurt. Okay? It isn't about pot.
Exactly right.
It's about the separation of powers. It's about freedom. It's about what the federal government has authority, or the lack thereof, in this case. It's about issues. It's about understanding of the proper role of limited government with all of its glory. That's the checks and balances. That's the limited scope enumerated. In other words, the Constitution's not designed to give the federal government power as much as it is to list where it has a role and then to limit its scope and power. And that's what Rand Paul, I'm telling you right now, it was an incredible, more than a home run hit.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so the debate isn't who landed the most punches. The debate isn't who looked the most presidential. The debate isn't who the mainstream press wanted to promote and wanted to reject, although that's what happened. The debate really is, in my humble opinion, who understands the principles that made America great, who has the most integrity and a track record of being solid to deliver those principles, who has the ability to truly keep their oath of office, or the will, the wherewithal, if you will, who understands and who would be the best person to do the job as president for Sam Bushman If Sam Bushman can't be there, who would Sam put in his stead? Who would Sam feel like would be the most reliable, honest, benevolent person to accomplish the task? And that's really the question. And I'm telling you that right now, Rand Paul hit it over the fence when it came to delivering on the separation of powers, backing of the 10th Amendment, telling the federal government where they didn't have any authority, and educating to that reality. Now, Rand Paul also did very well, Kurt, when it came to vaccines. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody's going to say, well, Rand supports vaccines, Sam. He got them for his kids and everything. Because that's all true. That's all true. However, I'm not here to debate his personal beliefs on vaccines, if he likes them or doesn't. But what Rand Paul said again, and he hammered this theme over and over throughout the night, I think, to his credit. But the mainstream press isn't going to give him any credit. They're just going to say, oh, he's for vaccines like everybody else. But what he really said was, I believe in vaccines. I think they're fine. And as a doctor, he has that right to believe what he wants, okay? I disagree with him, but that's just my opinion. But he doubled down. He tripled down. He really hammered the point home to the best of his ability that, look, I'm for freedom. And I believe people should be able to make a choice about vaccinations. And so, again...
You know what's amazing to me, Sam? Sorry to interrupt you real quick here, but on this whole choice thing, I don't see why so many of these guys don't say, look, you know, you guys that all say you're pro-choice, you know, and we're talking to the CNN crowd, you know, then he should say, hey, if you say you're pro-choice and yet you're not going to give me a choice when it comes to these things, that doesn't seem
you
too...
You nailed it.
Tolerant, but you know, they don't bring that up, do they?
No, but I'm just telling you, Rand Paul really hit it out of the park for that. Now, yeah. Trump basically, in my opinion, was delivering good stuff on vaccines. He talked about now, the mainstream press is calling it a shame, obviously.
Of course,
they say that. Let me
the
see how this is said.
Thing, at least
well, he told a story about an employee who got the jab for their kid and then they came down with autism.
Yeah.
And that was his example. He said, you know what, I'm not a doctor. And then the host mocked him and goes, there's your doctoral response. And everybody kind of laughed or whatever. But then he caved because what he said was, well, I'm for vaccines too. I just think we ought to just give them a little less dose over a greater period of time. Same amount of vaccine, same amount of toxic man-made serum gets shot into somebody's veins, but just not so much all at once. And then... when Ben Carson was asked about that, Ben said, well, yeah, you know what? Spreading it out less at a time would probably be a good idea. And then they left it at that. But there was not a single person on the campaign stage that was against vaccines. However, Rand Paul was the only one, Kurt, to talk about it should be a choice issue.
Yeah.
And so, again, Rand hit it out of the park. A third example, in my opinion, where Rand Paul did quite well. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a lot of time to speak, Kurt, which is unfortunate.
But and by the way, they put him on the clear on the outside. So on the stage, you've got your middle people, and the middle ones they had was Ben Carson and Trump. So that's, you know, your best spots. It's like in a horse race, you know, you want
that's
certain
right.
little
yes.
spots. So they put those two there. And then they put Bush just to the right of Trump. All right, so you had Carson just to the left of Trump, Bush just to the right of Trump.
Because that's how they want the polls to go.
Yeah. Clear on the end, on the left end, was Rand Paul. I think on the right end might have been Christie. But anyway, the bottom line is the guys on the way outs, they're the ones that they're not
on the fringes.
The yeah.
You know, and you could say, well, that positioning is not that important, but in your mind, that's what
it should
does.
Have been, it should be a toss-up kind of thing. It should be a little
agreed.
Flip through the coin, but that's not how they do it, you know.
Right. And so Rand Paul really did a great job. He also did not interrupt other candidates.
Yeah.
He was very polite about that. He kept saying, well, do I get a chance to respond to that? My name was invoked. And they're like, we'll get to you, Rand. We'll get to you. And then they let other people kind of... because the problem is you miss up when something's hot, Kurt, and you take the chance to speak on it, you can get, it's like a basketball game. And I hate to use sports as my analogy because this is too serious and sacred for sports almost. But what happens is when you get the chance to grab the ball, when something happens, you can capitalize on that and the momentum starts to go your way. It's just a reality. And so when you say, Rand, I'm not going to let you talk now. Go ahead, George or Jeb Bush. Go ahead, Chris Christie. Go ahead, John Kasich. Go ahead. All right, now we're now Ron, go ahead. What were you saying, Ron? Or Rand, I mean, Mr. Paul, what were you? And now the momentum's not there. Well, they did that to him over and over and over. And so he never really got a chance to break out. But again, it's not about breaking out. It's not about momentum. It's about solid understanding of the principles that made America great. Now, I don't really agree exactly with Rand Paul on foreign policy. He wants to defend Israel and he wants to... But I will say this. Rand Paul and Donald Trump, in my opinion, gave the most cogent reality on foreign policy. Now, the mainstream press would say, no, Trump didn't. He didn't even know what he was talking about. I disagree. He humbly admitted, I know this sounds surprising for Trump, but he did. He humbly admitted, look, I'm in the business arena and every day I do business deals. I don't focus on the pulse of foreign policy every day, guys. I just don't. Don't mistake, though, I can phone up on that before I ever sit in the Oval Office chair, and I can deliver on that if I need to, like I do in business, but I don't know now. And so he admitted that he didn't know. Now, some would say, well, he's not presidential, he's not ready, Curtin. I would completely disagree. I would say that humble admission, believe it or not, makes me like Trump more, because instead of pretending he knows everything, at least he's humble enough to say, you know what, you're right. It's not what I do every day, but I'm smart enough to get my arms around it, make no mistake, but he knows more about it than most of them, and I'll tell you why. Instead of running around being all hawkish and rejecting the Founding Fathers analogy to avoid foreign entanglements, he wisely, and Rand Paul and Donald Trump together on this, said, look, we've got to step back. We've got to start by getting rid of this. We're enemies with everybody in the world, which is really an isolationist policy, even though we're engaged everywhere like the world's cops. We're engendering hatred and blowback, and we're really isolated even though we're everywhere. Because of our treatment of others and our behavior. And the first thing we need to do is stop that behavior. We need to genuinely create relationships, step back from the war mentality. Sure, we can build the biggest military in the world. That's a good idea. But what we need to do is negotiate and talk and, as Trump would call it, make deals. As Ron Paul or Rand Paul would say it, negotiate. But we need to build relationships of trust. And I would say that they together had the most cogent foreign policy points, even though it was, quote, the least detailed in a way, of anybody on the stage. But Trump, even though he admitted he didn't really have a handle on everything perfectly, to me that scored huge points. And it also said, I don't know everything. And it also, though, he wisely said, I know one thing, and this is true in business or government or anything in the world. When you can step back and build relationships of trust, when you can listen to other people and other ways of thinking and other points to be made, your ability to make a deal, as Trump would call it, or to negotiate, increases big time. And so, in my mind, they made the best cogent reality that would dovetail with the Founding Fathers' view. The mainstream press would say Trump doesn't even know. He melted down on this. I completely disagree, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good analysis, Sam, and at least it's key. Even Trump said when he was asked, you know, what would you want to be called, you know, if you were the code name for president or whatever, he said humble. Now, all I can say is some people say, oh, he's joking or whatever. But, you know,
I don't think so.
Probably.
I think his admission on the stage that he didn't know something proves it, Kurt.
Yeah, that's an important part of this.
I'm going to give Trump credit.
Yeah, which means there's some hope for him.
Now, I'll tell you, the question is, if you were codenamed something, Curtis President, what would you be codenamed? I'll tell you what I would be. I'll tell you in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
It isn't about pomp. It isn't about who can throw the best punches. It isn't about who can speak the best. It's about something far different, in my humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Who understands the principles of the Republic? Who understands and would have the guts and the integrity to do their very best to restore the Republic and the tradition of the founders, using the supreme law of the land as our guide? Who would do that? All right, now, I was very pleased with Rand Paul and his performance because he tripled down on freedom in multiple cases, and he focused on the separation of powers and the proper role in limited government. Now, I'll give Mike Huckabee a little bit of kudos. When it came to Kim Davis, he did focus on there's a conflict between the state and the feds and that the states should take precedence. He's right. Mike Huckabee also supported Kim Davis and said, that, you know what, there's no law in the land that should force her to violate her conscience. I agree with him on that. Again, not enough was made out of that I think should be, and he failed to really attack some of the candidates that said, oh, the law is the law. You got to obey it because the court said so. There was a couple of points made about that just because the court says so, that doesn't mean it's the law. Ted Cruz and a couple of other people chimed in on that, Kurt. But I want to say that's a very valid point, too, about right of conscience, the cause of Christians, etc. That was made. They talked about the Second Amendment a little bit, but nobody really drilled in. Nobody really stood up for the Second Amendment as much as I would have liked, although Rand might have, but he never got the chance, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam, and that's the key thing. There'll be people saying, hey, you know, with 11 people on the stage, you know, it doesn't really give people enough time to do, you know, to really flesh out their things, so we got to get rid of some, and, you know, just so happens that, you know, guys like Rand Paul will be part of it, I think. We'll see what happens in the future. But,
yeah,
you know,
all right, now, there's a couple of other people that I want to point out. And then I'm going to tell you who I really think won. And I don't really think who won is a matter of in order. In other words, I don't rate them in that way, Kurt. What I do is I rate them in terms of what I believe they accomplished, what I believe their strong points are. And so I have some top favorites, but they don't get the credit they deserve, in my opinion. Another one would be Ben Carson, Kurt. Number one, Ben is a little bit in over his head, according to the mainstream press. And again, I would submit it's kind of like a Donald Trump thing a little bit, Kurt. This guy is a doctor, okay, a physician, a surgeon. And just because he doesn't know everything about the, quote, current discussion points of the presidential office, the fact is Ben Carson has proven time and time and time and time again to be a very brilliant, keen thinker. I mean, he's a surgeon, for crying out loud, a well-known surgeon. And just because he doesn't have the eloquent order skills of maybe a Carly Fiorina or a Marco Rubio or something like that, and just because he doesn't have a handle on everything relating to the office of president this very second, don't underestimate a Ben Carson's intelligence. And don't underestimate a Ben Carson's humble desire to do what is right. And if there's one thing I captured on the campaign stage last night, is Ben Carson was a little bit halting in his speech compared to the others, a little less sure of himself than the others. But you know what? When he would go into a statement and he would really explain himself, his delivery may not have been perfect, but his thinking and understanding was very, very cogent, very solid. And so I would simply say to you that I don't think Ben Carson got the bang out of the debates that he should have. One key component is he believes that the government shouldn't get more than the church curtain, so he wants to ratchet taxes back to the tithing level. And I would say that is a solid thinking man. I've made that point for literally years, Kurt. Why should we ever give the government more than we give God? Why would we ever do that? If government can't live on less than God gets, I don't know what to tell government, but they've got to roll back. They've got to, and Ben Carson nailed it. Now, even Rand Paul wants to ratchet everything back to 14.5%, but Ben Carson would even crank the tourniquet up even more, Kurt. So both of those guys get a kudos for saying, hey, I want to just simplify this big time. And both of them did great, in my humble opinion. Some of the others waffled a lot more. But Ben Carson delivered very well on that. He had a very humble, religious-type viewpoint to his behavior and conduct. That's very impressive, Kurt.
Yep, I agree, Sam. And, that's why I've said so many times, if you just combine this little team, you know, and you move, and I believe Trump could be a pretty good chief, I don't know if you call it administrator or whatever. Both he and Scott Walker, I'd probably put, you know, there, in that range, you know, hey, let him kind of be in charge. And then you bring in the other guys. You bring in Rand Paul and say, Department of, or Secretary of the Treasury. You bring in Cruz and say, Department of Defense, or, you know, whatever. You put this together as a team, and I believe you could have a winning deal. Instead of having so much separation, you could have more of a going thing. But, you know, nobody seems to get that picture, do they?
You're right. And that's the sad part, is they could really be taking the world by storm, showing what they would do, how they would do it, who would be involved. You'd be voting for the team. But that's not the way the Jerry Springer folks like it. But I was really impressed with Ben Carson on that. Now, I'm telling you this as well. I was very impressed with Scott Walker, Kurt. Now, I know that he didn't have a bust-out moment, as the mainstream press would want to say. I know that he didn't land a ton of punches on everybody. I get all that, okay? But I'm telling you, Scott Walker had a very solid performance about, look, I've really taken a state. I've taken on the unions. I won't back down. I understand that we need to move forward, and I will do so in a presidential manner, and I will use the Constitution to do so. I was very impressed with Scott Walker's performance, but the mainstream press is going to basically consider him and Rand on the outs. I'm telling you right now, that's how they're going to go. Now, if I were to tell you, I don't have a single winner. If I had to pick one, believe it or not, I would probably pick Ben Carson or Rand Paul as the winners of that debate last night. Again, not because they had the best punches, not because they whatever, but because they had the most solid understanding, in my opinion, of God, family, and country. Because they had the best understanding of how to protect life, liberty, and property. And so if I were to put three people up there who I personally believe did the best, and that's not all the pomp, it's just an idea of who would best restore the republic and the traditions of our founders using the supreme law of the land as their guide and have fidelity to that, I cannot put these guys in order, nor am I trying to. But I would say that it would be a Ben Carson, a Rand Paul, and a Scott Walker, bar none. After that, I would probably have to go with a Huckabee, Kurt. Not that I like Huckabee at all. I'm just saying. Huckabee at least was pretty strong on the religious stuff, pretty strong on the pro-life stuff. Okay, so there you go. Who would you put at the top of your list, Kurt, so far?
You know, the problem that I have with being, I guess you could say, unbiased about, you know, and just kind of analyzing the debate is the information I have on the candidates before. You know, that taints my view. And I think it, you know, it in some ways it does that with everybody.
Sure, no question.
And so, you know, the reason I said what I kind of did in the early part is, you know, I found myself thinking about the whole thing after the part that I saw. And I thought, at this time, when you look at where we are as a country and what possibility we've got to really get something done, and, you know, the whole with the media picture and all these other parts is part of it, you know, I just think the Trump guy is the one that, you know, is going to be, at least in my opinion, I call him the winner. And that's just
you call
because,
who the winner?
Well, Trump, I call him the winner. But it adds those two things I told you about, the immigration and the part about trade. If he's got those and he's willing to do what he does and pay for it himself, then...
Well, he's not willing to pay for it himself.
Well, he's willing to pay for his own campaign. And he's not taking the hundreds of millions of dollars that he could be taking, which is very hard for him. A guy like him, and I think it's hard for anybody, but a guy like him, he's used to getting checks here and checks there, and he loves that kind of stuff. So in those deals, but he's not doing it, and that goes a long, long way for me in saying, hey, you know, it's just hard to say anybody else could beat him. You know, and I, like you, I would prefer to have a Rand Paul right around with him. I'd like to have Ben Carson right there with him. But, you know, I just don't see these guys getting together. I kind of wish they would, but I don't
see Chris it. Christie, yeah, Jeb
goodbye,
Bush,
Chris.
Mr. Kasich.
Goodbye.
Chris
goodbye.
Christie, I would say goodbye to all those people big time.
Yeah. Yeah, but they won't do it.
No, they
won't.
Number
one, because Bush is their guy, and they're just waiting.
I know. You're right. Now, I reject also Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio, because Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio aren't even constitutionally qualified to run. That's a whole different discussion. When we come back, more details. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Liberty Roundtable live. We're talking about the debates. Who won the debates, according to Sam Bushman? Well, the candidates that won the debates, according to me, in no particular order, are as not what the mainstream press is. It's not strong performance. It's not the ability to publicly speak. It's none of those things. Rand Paul, Ben Carson, and Scott Walker, in my opinion, were the two or the three that I believe did the best. And I'm not talking about, you know, getting shots at the other candidate or a perfect delivery of what they had to say, but they were humble. They had policy, and in their understanding of policy, for the most part, was more correct than the rest. Those are the three that, for different reasons, I would say did very well. The mainstream press won't give them any credit. They probably won't budge in the poll numbers as a result. I believe Scott Walker and Rand are the two they're going to try to push out. They might try to push out Ben Carson, but it's going to be tough at this point, even though his performance wasn't as great, because he's not the best speaker. People like his humble delivery, and I agree. I think Trump didn't do near as well in this debate because he didn't dominate. He lost several battles. He kind of lost a battle with Rand Paul, too, because he looked like an idiot. Rand got attacked right coming out of the gate, and Rand's delivery was fine. Don didn't look too good that. Donald didn't look too good against Carly Fiorina. Several other candidates attacked the Donald Trump as well. So I don't think he'll lose a lot in the polls as a result. If you look at the Drudge Quick poll, you realize that Trump still dominates. But I don't believe his performance was near as stellar as he had hoped. And the question is, will that haunt him? And I think now the attack's on Trump. We'll see how Trump fares in that. But I really, so far, Kurt, think that Rand Paul, Ben Carson, and Scott Walker are the three candidates that I actually could consider voting for. And you would say, well, Sam, how can you consider Ben Carson when he's not really that solid on your right to keep and bear arms? And when he says, you know what, vaccines are a must. Because, again, we're looking at the candidates and saying who's the least problematic. And I do believe Ben's humble enough where you could actually sit down with him and really think through issues and talk to him. He was another candidate, like Donald Trump, believe it or not, on the stage last night, that virtually admitted, you know what, I don't know everything. And some of these things I will need to think through and get a better handle on. He alluded to that in several different ways, Kurt. And I'm okay with that, as long as your heart is in the right place, as long as you're a good, honest, wise person. And I believe Ben Carson is good, honest, and wise. He may not be perfect. He may not have a handle on things. He might misstep. But you know what? Everybody can misstep. Everybody can think something and then go, whoa, wait a minute. You're right. I wasn't on the beam on that. I believe Ben's humble enough to do that. Kurt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. And I appreciate his humble upbringing, knowing about his mom and his family and, you know, where he came from. You know, I think he's got a great love for the country. You know, I mean, I certainly would love to see, you know, a team of these people together, and include Ben Carson, you know, if not the chief administrator, you know, certainly, I mean, there's no reason he couldn't be a vice president, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, so many times they just don't seem to put team up. But anyway, Ben Carson, you know, he's in my upper list of candidates. I sure enjoy him.
Yeah, so I believe that Ben Carson was humble enough about that, and I really like somebody, Kurt, that on occasion can go, you know what? I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with that, to be honest with you. I just don't know. Now, some would say that's a sign of weakness, that, oh, man, they really opened up a can on that guy. He didn't know. See, I disagree. It's okay to say you don't know something.
Yeah, I think it's very important.
And if you can admit that you don't know on occasion, it also shows intelligence that, you know what, we're all on the campaign stage because we've accomplished things in our lives. One candidate made that point last night, and I agree with that. But just because you don't know something this second, that doesn't mean that you can't sit down with your advisors and those around you and bone up on something pretty quickly. And you can get a handle on what. So I'm okay, even with Ben Carson's missteps. Not that I think they're perfect. They're things that at first glance I just go, oh, Ben, no, Ben. But at the same time, I say, you know what? I guarantee you put anybody under the spotlights on the stage over and over and over and broadside them with questions that, frankly, you don't know how they're going to ask it or what they're going to ask. You're trying to respond on the fly in front of the press. It's very easy to say something you don't mean. It's very easy also to do some study on something and go, wait a minute. That's not what I really think or how I feel. And so I would simply say that I think now somebody would come back and say, well, come on, Sam, Ben Carson was pro-abortion before, too. Yeah, he grew up in a black household where his mom was dirt poor. He grew up in the ghetto. Okay, no doubt he was probably pro-choice and pro-abortion as a kid. But he really said, you know what, I listened to Ronald Reagan, and when people told me how evil Ronald was, I listened to Ronald, and Ronald didn't sound evil to me, and he actually made quite a bit of sense. See, that's an example of a guy thinking through things and saying, even though he came out of the ghetto, he's not blaming all the whites for his troubles. He learned to read. He was very intelligent. He got an opportunity, and he was smart enough to snatch that opportunity, and look how big he delivered. He's a well-known surgeon. Now he's on the campaign stage doing quite well for himself. Race is not an issue here, but my point is, look, this guy's a critical thinker. You can't say that he's not. So far, believe it or not, I'm on the Rand Paul, Ben Carson and Scott Walker bandwagon, not in that order necessarily. I'm not sure who I like. I like Rand because I think he's got a family history of being solid on the issues. I like Ben because he seems the most humble. I like Scott because he's accomplished a lot. But the other guys, Kurt, I can't even stomach, though. The Jeb Bushes. Okay, Carly Fiorina. Let's see. Marco Rubio. Ted Cruz, they're not even constitutionally qualified. And I look at these guys, I like a lot of what Ted Cruz has to say. But when his wife works for the Federal Reserve, I mean, would you rather have a candidate elected where his wife works for the Federal Reserve so you know he'll defend the dishonest money system? And a guy who's an attorney? Or would you rather have a doctor that may not be as positive on vaccines as he should be? He's been trained to think vaccines are fine. So, again, the missteps that a Ben Carson might have, I'm gonna put up to that. That's the way he's trained. The guy's humble enough to hopefully listen. I'm going to give him credit. Whereas the Ted Cruz, I mean, really, are you going to get Ted Cruz off dishonest money, Kurt? What if he's not even constitutionally qualified? Does that matter? So, you know, there you go. And I could be wrong, but that's my take. So I wish we could get I wish we could get Rand Paul and Scott Walker and Ben Carson somehow on the same team, Kurt. And one of them just say, look, I want all my supporters to go to this guy. We've made a deal. It's going to be Rand Paul for president, Ben Carson for vice president. Or the opposite, for that matter. If Ben's got more support, Ben Carson for president, Rand Paul for vice president. And Scott Walker could be in the mix, you know. Hey, we're going to put Scott Walker in charge of the Labor Department so he can shut down the unions. Or we're going to put Rand Paul in charge of the Federal Reserve, or Rand Paul in charge of foreign policy. We're going to put Ben Carson in charge of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, I don't know. All I'm saying is I think your idea that we could put these different people in different places to create a team would be great. I think if a couple of these candidates could humble themselves and pitch their support to another candidate, it would be well to do. And I would say Ben Carson, at least on the polling, is highest, not counting Trump. And then who is it, Rand Paul and then Scott Walker, Kurt? Or does Rand and Scott have a tie? I guess Scott Walker's below Rand, huh?
Yeah, right now you got Rand and Ben, at least on the Drudge report, or the Drudge poll with 500.
Yeah, and all the mainstream press polls put Trump on top and Carson second for sure, and then it falls off from there.
Yeah, well, you mean not from last night's thing. Last night's, they show Trump and then they show Carly as the, second individual.
Yeah, and whether that's just a real snapshot of real polling or whether that's just a...
I don't think
based on the debate viewpoint, I don't know. Nevertheless, though, I wouldn't consider Carly or Christie or Kasich or Bush or any of these goofballs. They're not even in the runnings in my mind. So who would you pick? Kurt Rand Paul, Ben Carson, or Scott Walker if you had to pick somebody?
Out of those three?
Yep.
And I can't put them together, you know. I'd probably,
because we both agree that putting them together is the answer already, right?
Yeah. Who
would you pick?
I'd have to choose Rand in that case.
Okay, I would choose Rand or Carson, Ben Carson. I wouldn't choose Walker. He's an attorney, and he's been in the government for a long time. So I'm kind of voting outsider.
He's an attorney?
I think he is.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that.
Maybe I'm wrong. You can look it up and see.
Okay.
But I know this, and Rand has been in politics for quite a while. In Rand's defense, he is a physician, so his main living has not been in politics. And he hasn't been in that long compared to the others. But I would pick Rand and Ben because neither of them are really politicians. They both have made plenty of money in the private sector. They're both critical thinkers. They both understand the Constitution and God, family, country. And so I would say that if Ben Carson's polling better than Rand, I would do a Ben Carson president and Rand Paul vice presidential ticket. Based on polls, based on the mainstream press, based on what I think we could put together that would make the most sense. Who would you put together now, Kurt? Now that you've answered it separate, who would you put together?
Who? What, two?
Yeah, president and vice president.
I'd like to see, like a Trump and a Rand. Because I think, I'm talking about what's gonna be possible, not what... I mean, my choice would be, say, Rand Paul and, probably Ben Carson. But I think Trump, there's no way to really stop him now. And I think at least we don't get Jeb.
I predict they'll stop Trump. Don't know how.
I don't know where. So.
You think he'll be president?
I think it's just about impossible to stop him now.
So you think he'll be president? Okay. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball. There's the breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. Intelligent, well-thought-out commentary, that's for sure. LibertyRoundtable.com for Sam and Kurt. We declare we the people can restore America. This nation shall endure.
A back.